Welcome to the Shiur in Sfarno, Parshas Kisisa. We discussed yesterday, really over the past 2 days, the Sfarno's take on the Egel Hazav, the sin of the golden calf, and particularly the role that Aaron HaKohen played in that terrible event. Interestingly enough, as we saw yesterday, the Sfarno downplays considerably the role that Aaron played in actually making the Egel Hazav. He says he really had almost no role at all. He collected the gold, he threw the gold into the fire, and then the people kind of took over at that point and made the golden calf. And Aaron tried to protest, making a holiday for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu the following day. And ironically, it's that party which seems, according to the Sfarno, to have been Aaron's undoing. That the people, the following day, they came, they found a party prepared, and instead of making a party to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they turned it into a party for the Egel. They started dancing. And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and he sees not so much the Egel, but he sees the dancing. Vayareso Egel umecholos. He sees the Egel and the dancing that accompanies that. So then he says that's really what the straw that broke the camel's back. That shows that not only have the people sinned, but he despairs of their ability to do tshuva. If they're rejoicing in this sin, if they're enjoying the sin, they're partying as part of the sin. So then the path to tshuva is going to be incredibly difficult for them to take upon themselves. Continuing on that theme, so in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chafei, Parasha says, "Vayar Moshe es ha'om ki foruahu." Moshe saw the people that they were exposed; they were uncovered. Ki firo'o Aharon, because Aaron had exposed the people, l'shimtsa b'komehem, such that they would be a source of disgrace among those who would rise up against them. What does that pasuk mean? The people were uncovered, the people were exposed, Aaron exposed the people, they were a source of disgrace for those who would rise up against them. What does all of that mean? So the Sfarno comments as follows. Ki faruahu, ki faruahu rather. The people were exposed. Megula, they were exposed. Umefursum leroa. Their evil had now been exposed and was now made very public. Biskalos libo bozeh. The fact that they had all come together to build the Egel Hazav showed, uncovered, exposed the full depth of their evil. But in what sense, kifiro'o Aaron, that Aaron exposed them? I thought the Sfarno's take on Aaron was to try to minimize his involvement as much as possible. Here the Pasuk seems to be saying something derogatory about Aaron, ki firo'o Aaron, that Aaron exposed the people, exposed their evil. So the Sfarno goes on to give the following explanation. Gila she'ein b'neim tzadikim. What happened with Aaron, not Aaron himself, but Aaron inadvertently exposed the fact that there were no true tzadikim among Klal Yisrael. Shim hayu sham tzadikim, had there been tzadikim among them, Ozrim le'aron, kasher nikalu alav. So then, Aaron should have at least had some support when the people gathered against him. Had there been a group of people who would have supported Aaron, so lohaya Aaron osa ha'ego klau, so Aaron wouldn't have been in a situation where he would have been involved in any way whatsoever with the making of the ego. The fact that Aaron felt that he had to do a dance, to do something in order to placate the people, to stall, as we were talking about yesterday, whatever he was doing exactly, was directly related to the fact that he didn't have any support. He was one man against the entire Klal Yisrael. So what are you going to do under those circumstances? So it's not that Aaron did something wrong to uncover or to expose the people. The fact that Aaron had to do what he had to do in itself was an indictment of the people, an exposure of the people, for the fact that there weren't any tzaddikim among them. This actually goes back, in some level, to what the Sfarno spoke about with regard to Sdom. that Avram Avinu, when he davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, davens for, he talks about there should be Chamishim Tzadikim B'Soch Ha'ir. There should be 50 Tzadikim in the midst of the city. And the Sfarno there says the definition of a Tzadik as per Avram Avinu's Tefillah was somebody who was going to reprimand the other people. To be a Tzadik, to say, I know the right thing to do, I'm going to go off to the side and do my own thing. I'm going to say Tillim, I'm going to learn Mesilas Yesharim while everything else is collapsing to the ground. That's not really the definition of tzidkus. The definition of tzidkus, of piety, is to get involved and to try to change things. So there might have been nice guys among Klal Yisrael at this time, but there weren't tzaddikim of the caliber who were ready to stand up and help Aaron protest against the rest of the people. It was really Aaron against everybody else? So the pasuk says that they were l'shimtsa b'kameyim. The exposure of the people left them a disgrace in the eyes of those who would rise up against them. Yeah.
What I'm just missing here. In what form or what format did Aaron expose? What mechanism did he use to expose?
Right. So it was inadvertent. In other words, the fact that no one was ready to come to Aaron's aid was an exposure of the fact that there were no real tzaddikim among Klal Yisrael. It's not so much that Aaron exposed it proactively, but the fact that he had to undergo what he had to undergo, and no one stood up and helped him. That was Aaron indirectly exposing the fact that there were no tzaddikim among Klal Yisrael. So they were l'shim tzo b'kameyem. They were a source of disgrace among those who would rise up against them. So he explains, l'shem rabbein oiveyem. The Jewish people, by virtue of what they had done, by building the egel, would acquire a bad reputation in the eyes of their enemies. Shiyomru aleim shalonemu b'brisam. Their enemies would say about them that the Jewish people were not faithful to the covenant that they had made with Hashem. The shebeinayim ein osetov ein gam echod, and that, as was just explained, they would look at the Jewish people and say, "Look, there isn't a single one among them who's an osetov, who's a good guy, who's willing to stand up for what they know is right." The shelonasu pnei navi v'nasi besocham. And the Jewish people were not even ready to listen to someone like an Aaron, who was a Navi, a prophet among them, a Nasi, a leader among them. They don't respect their leadership, they don't respect their prophets, and they don't even respect their own religion. They don't even respect their own covenant, which they made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So fascinatingly, the Torah says that the fact that the Jewish people were viewed in such a way was something derogatory. Even the enemies of the Jewish people, even the enemies of the Jewish people looked askance at the Jewish people. What's wrong with you people? You're not adhering to your own religion? You had a covenant with your own God and you wouldn't follow through on it? You rose up against your own Navi? You rose up against your own Aaron HaKohen? You don't respect your own leadership? It's not just that they did what was wrong in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even the enemies of the Jewish people, says the Pasuk, would be taken aback by the degree to which Klal Yisrael acted in such a fashion. They tell the story, forget exactly who it is, perhaps somebody here knows, one of the founding terrorists of the PLO, if I'm not mistaken, who started off his career in prison. And he found himself with a Jewish prisoner, and the Jewish prisoner was eating chametz on Pesach. And the terrorist came to the conclusion, he writes in his autobiography, "I said, if this is a people who cares so little about their religion, they care so little about their heritage and their traditions that they would eat, they would violate, the central tenet of one of their holidays, so I think we have a chance in beating such a people. If the people would be strong and they'd believe in what they believe in, okay, so we'd have a much harder time of it. Maybe it'd be impossible. But I see that they're weak. I see that they don't even believe in their own things. They don't believe in their own traditions, their own customs. We can beat them." So I think that's the same idea that the Pasuk is expressing over here. Why are we focusing on the enemies of the Jewish people? Because when the enemies of the Jewish people look at us and they see that we're not even strong in our own commitments, So that's the ultimate disgrace. They say, so who are you? What claim do you have on anything? Maybe, or maybe maybe another god. Yeah. Right, so there's still. So I think a lot of it comes down to the following, and this the Kuzari really develops in the Sefer HaKuzari, where the Kuzari writes also that, you know, they weren't trying to make a substitute God; they were trying to make a substitute intermediary to reach God. Okay, so if that's the case, so what's so terrible? Basically, the Kuzari's answer is that it all comes down to what God commands. Are you faithful to God's system, or are you not faithful to God's system? If God says, the way I want you to reach me is this method, so that's the method God wants. If God says, I don't want you to use that method, so then the fact that you want to use that method anyway, God says, Eloi chesev, Eloi zov, lo sasu lochem, don't make gods, don't make idols of gold or silver as an intermediary to reach me. So, you know, if you think you know better than God, so that's going to undermine the entire system. And on some level, that's the Kuzari says, that's really the mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't make this. Lo sasa l'chol kol pesel, kol tmuna, sher b'shamay mimal. Don't make any graven images. You're smarter. You're saying, I'm going to make the graven image just as a way to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be smarter than Hashem. Hashem said, this is the method that works. So you're going to try to use another method that you think works better? God told you what works. That's the Kuzari's basic answer to this question. You know, what's the difference between an Egel Azov and Kruvim? Right? This is a figurine, that's a figurine. The answer is, this is a figurine God said to make, and this is a figurine God said not to make. You know, that's, and in the end of the day, it comes down to a question of obedience. Are you obedient, you know, to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there are no tzaddikim among them, and says the Sfarno v'zek he afal pi shlo kulam v'lo rubam nikalu al Aaron. The truth is, it was a small minority who ganged up against Aaron. Not all of them, not even most of them, but hayu kulam l'shimtza. But it was a disgrace for all of them. Al shlo michu bakomim. The silent majority shouldn't have been silent. The silent majority, who looked at the whole scene of the people rising up against Aaron, giving him a hard time, and said, oi, that's not the way a good Jew should behave. And then they went back to doing whatever they were doing. They're also to blame. They're also the cause of this disgrace that the Jewish people has to endure, because you can't be a bystander. That's the Sfarno's lesson, one of the lessons from the Egel Azov. Most of the people at that time were bystanders. But they're not innocent bystanders. If you see something like the Egel Azov, you know, unfolding in front of you, and you just go, tisk, tisk, what a terrible thing. Oh, och and vey. You know, we'll really, it's a shame how people act nowadays, you know. In the good old days, we never made an Egel Azov. You know, if that's going to be the reaction, and that's the extent of the reaction, you don't go over, you don't help Aaron, you don't help the whole situation. So you on some level, you're just as bad as the people who are egging on Aaron HaKohen to make this Egel Azov. So, right, no, so you can definitely argue that Aaron thought he would be more useful alive than dead, right? The Sfarno's point is, but forget about Aaron for a minute. What about all the silent, this quote-unquote silent majority, who are just standing by and saying, well, that's terrible that Aaron is being, you know, forced in that way to get involved with this Egel Azov. What a terrible, terrible thing. What terrible midos. Don't just say what terrible midos. Jump in there, do something. Help the man out. So that's the Sfarno continues, the kapara, the atonement of the Jewish people has to somehow impact on the silent majority. It has to send the message that being an innocent, you know, there's no such thing as the innocent bystander. If you're going to be a bystander, you know, your silence is just as terrible as the participation in the crime itself.
It's true to that, sure. But also, the question, in my mind, the question is, you know, the Good Samaritan is not always effective. I mean, I understand you,
right, okay.
the effort wasn't there. But still, to ask the silent majority to police the people who were acting up is a lot to ask.
Right, okay, but I don't know. In other words, you know, how many people were involved? You know, it says that 3,000 people were killed, as punishment for the Egel Azov. So there were 600,000 men, you know, and probably many more women and children who were part of Klal Yisrael. You do the math, it was really a very insignificant minority who were involved over here. So why didn't anyone say anything? You know, I mean, Kitty Genovese is being, killed on the street, and everybody's looking out the window and saying, oh, okay, how terrible, it's really a terrible thing that this young woman is suffering in such a fashion. That's what's going on over here, says the Sforno. Everybody's looking back and saying, you know, this is very, very terrible. So what's the kapara? What's the atonement? The Pasuk says, Vayamud Moshe b'shar ha-machane. So Moshe stood at the gateway to the camp, Vayomer mil Hashem Eloi. He said, whoever is on Hashem's side, let him come to me. Vayayosu Elov, Kol b'nei Levi. The children of Levi come to him. Vayomer Lohem. So he says to them, Kol ma Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Thus says Hashem, Simu ishchar b'al yirecho. Let every person take his sword and put it on his thigh. Ivru voshuvu mishar loshar b'machane. Go back and forth from gate to gate, from one side of the camp to the other. V'hirgu ishes ochi v'ishes rieo v'ishes krova. And kill these people, even if they're related to you, who were directly involved in the making of the Egel Azov. Kill that minority who were involved in the making of the Egel Azov. So the Sforno over here focuses on the words ivru voshuvu. Go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Why do you have to set it up like that? Well, you know, there are a bunch of Levium. Why don't you just tell them, you know, guys spread out, and everybody take a zone, and, you know, dispatch all of the evildoers in your zone. What's this ivru voshuvu? Go back and forth from one side of the camp to the other. So interestingly, he writes as follows. L'chaper al habilti chotim, Shlomichu Bachotim. The going back and forth is a form of kapara, a form of atonement, for those of the silent majority who didn't protest. Because this way, no one can say, I didn't see the B'nai Levi carry out their somewhat gruesome task. Kimo Shlomichu Bachotim, Kein Lo Yimchu Behargeyim. Right? So the silent majority will be given the chance to protest against the B'nai Levi, because the B'nai Levi are going to march from one side of the camp to the next. No one can escape seeing the B'nai Levi and what they're going to do. And this will give the silent majority the chance once again to decide, what are we going to do? Maybe we'll protest against the B'nai Levi. You know, chutzpah, what are you doing? Running around, killing people. A bunch of chayas, you know, what are you killing people indiscriminately? Are they going to support the B'nai Levi, or are they not going to support the B'nai Levi? They can support the B'nai Levi with their silence. But we want to give them the opportunity to be supportive, at least in that way. So, Ivru Vashuvu, go back and forth so that everyone sees what you're about to do. The way the Sforno seems to understand it is that the Ivru Vashuvu is not, the go back and forth doesn't describe going through the camp and searching out the evildoers, which is, I think, the way you'd read the Pasuk simply. It describes a motion that takes place before the B'nai Levi go and try to punish those people who are evildoers. First, you know, waltz back and forth across the camp so everybody sees you, and then get to work, and then, you know, dispatch all of those individuals who were involved in this terrible kind of way. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues speaking to the B'nai Levi, And he says as follows. The B'nai Levi go ahead, they do their work. Vayasu B'nai Levi kidvar Moshe. The B'nai Levi carried out what Moshe told them to do. Vayipomina om bayomahu kishloshes alfei ish. 3,000 people are killed. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said, Milu yedchem hayom l'Hashem. Fill your hands, dedicate yourselves today to Hashem. Ki ish bivno uve'achiv, because each man through his son and in his brother, v'loseis aleichem hayom bracha. And in order to place upon yourselves today a bracha. What's the meaning of this pasuk? So the Svarno says, Milu yedchem hayom l'Hashem. The Svarno goes back to what he spoke about in Parshas Tetzave. What does it mean to fill the hand? So we saw Rashi there said that filling the hand, when it's talking about the Kohanim in Parshas Tetzave, is a description of initiation. Right? Rashi describes over there how in medieval times, when a person was initiated into a certain office, so they would symbolically have him put on a glove, a gauntlet, in order to show that he was stepping into a certain office, a certain position of prominence. So that's Rashi over here writes as well, Milu yedchem, badover hazeh tischanchu lios kohanim lamokom. Through this act, you will be initiated, tischanchu, you will be initiated to become kohanim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were hoping to have the miluim, you know, as the act of inauguration, but in a sense, you know, as B'nai Levi, this is going to be your inauguration. But the Svarno back in Parshas Tetzaveh gave a different interpretation of milui yodayim, filling the hands. He understood that it meant preparing, making something whole and complete. The Svarno had said that the milui yodayim described for the Kohanim meant that their yodayim, their hands, were now poised to be able to act in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Svarno here as well is consistent with what he writes back in Tetzaveh. Milu yedchem hayom l'Hashem, haknu shleimus liyedchem hayom. You will grant completion to your hands today. Shetihyenu muchanos la'avdo b'mikdosho. Your hands will now be ready to serve Hashem in His mikdosh. How do you show that your hands are ready to serve Hashem in His mikdosh? By following the will of Hashem, by engaging in an act of mesiras nefesh, of self-sacrifice, a difficult act, but ultimately declaring in a very, very strong, and one might say even in a gruesome way, one's commitment to the ideals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one's commitment to the notion that those who go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately need to be punished. Then the Svarno also gives an interesting interpretation of the next phrase. Ki ish bivno uve'achiv. Man to his son and to his brother. What does that mean? Rashi interprets as follows. Ki ish mikem yimale yado bivno uve'achiv. Each one of you will fill his hand, will initiate himself through his son and his brother, meaning the people that you may end up killing today may end up being relatives. So despite the fact that you're called upon to execute your own relatives, nonetheless, that's your display of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah. The Svarno says as follows, Ki kol echad mehem kvar hukdash l'Hashem. The truth is, all of you Levi'im have already showed your commitment to Hashem. How? Bivno, through your sons. What do you mean, through your sons? Be'inyan hamila sh'asisem bamidbar. B'nai Levi, uniquely among the Shvatim, continued the practice of Bris Milah when they were in Mitzrayim, and then later on when they were in the desert as well. Right? That's the Pasuk says, U'brischa yinsoru. B'nai Levi kept the commitment to Bris even when the rest of the Jewish people did not. So you've already shown your commitment, Bivno, through your sons. And now you're showing your commitment, Be'achiv, through your brothers, that is to say, Behariga Sayom, because of the executions that you're carrying out today against your brothers. So therefore, this will complete your commitment. It will show, it will ready your hands for divine service. And v'oseis aleichem hayom bracha, and to place upon you today a bracha, umilu yedchem gam kein ba'ofen shi'iten Hashem yisparach aleichem hayom bracha. So when you carry out this mission today, do so in such a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place a bracha upon you. The grammar of that phrase, v'loseis aleichem hayom bracha, is a very funny, unusual kind of grammar. The word v'loseis is the infinitive. And in order to place. What do you mean in order to place? Halavai, that Hashem should put a bracha upon you today. Well, you know, it should be ki'ish bivnova achiv, loseis aleichem hayom bracha, to place upon you a bracha today. What's v'loseis? And in order to place. So the Sfarno says, this is a statement to Klalius, to the Levium, that they should realize they should have a certain kavana, a certain understanding in mind when they go about this business. V'zeh shetiyah magamas pneichem l'shmor mishpato uvriso. Your aim in carrying out this act should be to ensure that God's justice and that His bris, His covenant, is upheld. In other words, what the Sfarno, I think, is saying, that, you know, the Levim are being charged with a very, very bloody task to go through Klal Yisrael and to kill people. It's not a pleasant task. So, yet that's the mitzvah which is upon them. They have to be careful, says the Sfarno, to carry out this mitzvah in a way which is not a bloodthirsty way, which would be so easy to do. You know, for them to just say, I never liked that guy anyway. You know, it's a nice opportunity to take him out. They shouldn't look at it that way. They should have their kavana l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, that the reason that they're carrying out, which is something which is a very difficult and bloody task, is in order to ensure that Hashem's justice will continue and that His bris, that His covenant, is ultimately going to be upheld. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.